says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right. How are we doing this morning? Good to go.
All right, good to go here on an agenda-free Friday. AFC Championship Game Edition of Agenda-Free Friday. Want to thank our friends at the Bernardi Auto Group. They now sponsor Agenda-Free Friday. Bernardi Auto Group, where car buying is always agenda-free.
Yeah, Bernardi.
Choose from new Acuras, Audis, Hyundais, Toyotas, Volvos, and over 500 pre-owned vehicles. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, BernardiAutoGroup.com. Once again, thanks to them for Agenda Free Friday. You know the deal. We give opening thoughts. You fill up the phone lines. We get to you immediately. That's what we do on Friday. We're going to do something a little special here right off the top because Zoe has to get out of here with his helmets. Okay? Zoe's got the helmets. Zoe's got to leave. So normally we do this at 2:20, but Zoe's nice enough to stick around for 5 minutes, so we'll just do it now. After weeks of deliberation and film study and checking the stats and going over all the matchups, Maz is finally ready to reveal his pick. If you're watching on NBC Sports Boston, there's a visual that goes with this. Of course, Murray gave us a little bit of a production. Go ahead.
Time for Maz's pick.
Okay, again, we've alerted the media. There'll be a simultaneous release.
CNN here.
That goes with this. And so, again, Maz is ready to reveal the pick. Maz, go ahead.
Well, look, I surprised you last week. I think maybe I'll surprise you again. Not Chiefs. I'm going with the Chiefs. I'm sorry. I don't believe in the whole home road. I got to unbutton the snap here because my head's going to, like, I'm going to pass out.
It's like you got a vice
on.
This
helmet's smaller than the one we had last week. I feel like Ezekiel
that,
Elliott.
That looks more painful than the ball game.
Oh, my God.
I got to tell you.
Seriously. Chiefs. I'm going with the Chiefs. I'm sorry. I don't believe in the Patriots on the road. I don't know how you could believe in them on the road after going 3-5. If the game were here, I think it would make a big difference. It's not. It's in Kansas City. I like the Chiefs. So I'm sorry if you're a Patriots fan, but suck on it.
Okay. So Zoe has to go. Give him that.
You need to be buttered up so you can get that thing off your head.
Oh, my God. Here you go, Zoe. Thank you.
Thanks, boys.
Thanks. Taking on. Oh, my God. That thing. But it is. That was signed by who?
Joe Montana.
Tell me that's not an omen.
That is a Joe Montana helmet, Maz. Did you get a little Fighting Irish in your pants there when you put
Big
that
time.
On?
Big time. Joe's like, I give it back.
Okay, so do you want to expand on your opening thought on maybe tied into that pick or just your thoughts on the – well, your opening thought, Anthony.
Okay, so if the Patriots were to win this game, okay,
and I do – you left a mark on your fucking
– I don't doubt it.
Oh, my God.
Seriously.
Left a mark on your
–
seriously,
I'm telling
you, that thing on your dome. Look at that.
It cut off the circulation of my brain.
That's wonderful.
That thing – I told you, I felt like Ezekiel Elliott in there. I'm crying out loud. He looks like he's got to butter his head to get that helmet on every
that's
week.
That's great.
So if the Patriots were to win this game, we touched on this a little yesterday, although I think we did it all off the air. And again, let me just make it clear. I like Kansas City. Okay, I like Kansas City. But anyone who thinks the Patriots have no chance is just stupid because they obviously have a chance. So he said yesterday, the last time a team got back to the Super Bowl after losing the game was the 1994 Buffalo Bills. Like, it has been nearly 25 years that a team has gotten back to the Super Bowl after losing it the year before. Extremely difficult thing to do. And this is the kind of thing that a Belichick team would do. They attack history more and more and more, and it's the kind of thing they would do. So here's the question I had for you today. Who's the last team to win it? Who's the last team to win it?
After losing?
After losing the year before.
So again, was it the Cowboys or the Dolphins in the early 70s?
Both. But the answer, the correct answer is the 72 Dolphins. The team that went 17-0 is the last team to get back to the Super Bowl and win it after losing it the year before. And the Patriots got a shot. Like, I honestly shouldn't say I'm surprised they're in the AFC Championship game, because how could you when they've gone back there now 8 years in a row? 8 years in a row, which is astonishing. But if they were to win this game, they have a chance to do something that no one has done since the 72 Dolphins. Now, I know you've heard that before. Okay, different achievement. But the fact that they're even in the position does speak to sort of who they've been throughout this run. If there's anything in the history of the league that has not been done or that people have, you know, tried to do and can't do, the Patriots are the team that can do it. And so let's see what I like the Chiefs, but let's see what happens.
Murray, your opening thoughts.
Yeah, I too am picking Kansas City, and I'll preface it by saying that I hope that I'm wrong. I really do, and I never said that the Patriots suck this year, but I did believe, comparatively speaking, it was a down year for them compared to other Patriots teams in the past. Brady looked old and broken at times. Gronk is dead. And I even went so far while you were out, Felger, you too, Maz, to call it a lost season after they lost back-to-back and lost to Pittsburgh, and then Josh Gordon found himself at the bottom of a bottom of a bottle again. So I was calling it a lost season because it really felt that way. But here we are, eighth straight AFC Championship game, a ridiculous feat. And again, I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think I will be because, like Maz mentioned, the way that the Patriots played on the road this year, it's a big enough sample size. They looked like a completely different and lesser team on the road. Even in the three wins, they mostly struggled for that first half against Buffalo and the Jets, and they were lucky it didn't go into overtime against the Bears. But more importantly, it's about Patrick Mahomes. It's been Patrick Mahomes' year since week one. He's the deserving MVP and the offensive player of the year. And yeah, he's dipped at times and made some questionable plays, but it's about Patrick Mahomes. And at home, he's dangerous. He's dominant. It's going to come down to him, and that's why I'm picking the Chiefs. Although, again, I hope I'm wrong.
Okay, so I'm Chiefs, too. I've been all season, and this is really a season prediction more than it is a game-to-game prediction. I mean, hell, again, I have the field. I would have picked anybody because I've been, I've been sort of down on the Patriots all year in terms of being a championship team. And last week gave me pause, as it should have, because they looked really good. So that's rattled me a little bit, but I ain't going to give up on it. And I just think, you know, to Maz's point, going back after losing is, like, unprecedented in most of our lifetimes. I mean, I was 3 years old in 1972, but I know a lot of you listening, you know, it's never happened in your lifetime where a team loses a Super Bowl and then goes back the next year. So you add that to the offseason they had, which was not just Brady's commitment in the offseason, Bill's commitment in the offseason, what they did with the roster. The roster did not get better, I don't believe. They lost guys and didn't really replace them. They did nothing at the trade deadline. They had, for them, a middling regular season. You add that all up, how is that a Super Bowl team? And so I've just been on that side of it the whole way, and I ain't going to change my mind now. Although last week, again,
That's enough to make you think, wow, I am an idiot for doubting them.
You know? Right, exactly. So, I mean, I'd be lying if I said it doesn't creep in. Like, oh, God, you know, here they are again, and I'm wrong. So, believe me, like, the last week we'll do that to you, but no, not enough. It just feels like, you know, I said when Brady missed all that stuff in the offseason, it's going to show up on the margins, it's going to catch up. And I think I've been right to this point. He was down in the regular season. I think it all stemmed from them all showing up late to work, if you will. And not that he sucked, but he wasn't himself. The team wasn't itself. And instead of hosting this game, you're on the road for this game, and that's going to be the difference. And all the things they didn't quite do roster-wise, off-season-wise, it catches up. I've said that from day one, and this is where it catches up. And if it doesn't, I'm wrong, I'm ball-gagged, and I'll see you in Atlanta. All right, so there we go. Agenda Free Friday off and running. 617-779-0985. Phil in Malden for Maz. Go, Phil.
Yeah, Mike, guys, thanks for the call. I don't know, Mike. I think you guys are wrong. I think they're going to win. I really do. I know you predicted last week that they were going to lose. The Chargers were going to win. But I got a gut feeling. I think that Brady's going to, this is going to be his swan song.
I don't think it's a swan song. And he's here for the next 2-3 years, maybe more. I've bought into that, and he can play at a high level, even higher than he played this year. And not that he was at an exceptionally high level for him this year. I just think it's entirely possible he's back next year and even better, and that the team's better. I believe that. In terms of this year, the gut feeling, that sort of thing, like, you know, Ted Johnson yesterday, they have flipped the switch. They're a different team. Do you believe that?
No. I mean, I think a little. I think they're better. I think they've improved at the end of the year. And I think we saw some of that last week because that was the best game they've played all year. But I also think it was at home. And so even the road games at the end of the year, you say they were a little bit better. I mean, the game in Miami, they had won. And they didn't play great, but at least they were in a position to win it, unlike some of the other road games. And then the Pittsburgh one, you know, they didn't play great in that game. I'm not going to make it up. But I would tell you that I think they were better at the end of the year than the beginning. I have never liked the idea of going to Kansas City for the AFC Championship. Since Kansas City had lined it up to be the number one seed, I never once liked that idea. I'm not changing my mind now.
Jeff in Foxborough. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, what's up, guys? First-time caller. Thanks for taking my call. So I have 3 points here, 30 seconds. People are so against the zone scheme. However, if you do a press coverage zone blitz scheme, it'll rush and confuse a first-year quarterback such as Mahomes. Also, stunts on the defensive line could be effective. Second point, Rob Gronkowski will have to personally take out Houston on run blocking on the offense and in the passing game as well. And third and most importantly, this one's for you, Felger. Listen, Breeze is better than Rodgers, man. Sorry, Cheesehead. Thanks for the call.
Okay. They're close. I don't think that's outrageous. I don't think that's outrageous at all to say Breeze is better than Rodgers. They're in the same group, that's for sure. The thing about defending Mahomes, you know, the Pats are a huge man team, and they're much better in man than zone, and their best defensive back, Gilmore, is better in man than zone. But isn't it better to play zone against Mahomes?
I think so.
Everyone just get back. Make him, dare him to take the short, little, easy money all the way up and down the field. Don't give him the big play. You know, keep him in the pocket and see if he can complete 7 of 8 down the field underneath. Like, that's how I would play it, but that's not to the Patriots' strength.
I just think that, and also I think zone will slow the game down. You know, the danger of man is if someone gets smoked, you're giving up touchdowns to this team.
That's right, and then you're susceptible to long scrambles.
Exactly, all of it. I mean, I just think, you know, one guy gets dusted, you're porked because no one's going to be there to help, and all of a sudden, here you go. Now, you know, I mean, I'm not saying that you wouldn't have a safety somewhere over the top, but it's dangerous to play man against this team. I think you have to accept the reality that they're going to get 28. I think you just have to accept that.
Murray, you have a thought?
Damn microphones. I just think they can get killed by playing man. I think that zone is the way to go here because of a guy like Hill. If he blows past Gilmore, whoever's on him, even with safety help, good night. You're looking at another 75, 80-yard touchdown like that.
Okay, quickly, Tom and Newton. Hi, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Obviously one of the strengths of the Patriots is just game planning and scheming their way past problems, whether that's, you know, a good defense or overcoming personnel issues. I'm sure we can all agree this isn't the most talented team that they've had. But honestly, you know, they beat the Chiefs earlier this year, barely. They just beat a talented Chargers team on Sunday. I don't know what tricks they can possibly have left in their sleeve to go in there and confuse the Chiefs enough to win. I mean, this honestly feels like 2013, 2015 on the road. They just don't have what it takes. I don't see what the possible path to victory could be. I don't know how they could do it. Thanks.
Okay, we continue with your thoughts. Path to victory. You can come up with one. Maybe we'll do it next on Felger and Maz on an Agenda-Free Friday.
The Sports Hub.
Snowstorm. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
We were going to prepare and be ready to go, whether you pick us or you don't pick us.
I don't trust this New England Patriots team
because the Chargers are better.
We see it. You know, we see our quarterback's too old.
The AFC quarterback, he is the worst.
He doesn't even look. He knows it's open.
We're not good enough on defense.
Patriots have a veteran, smart, but slow defense.
And sacked by Trey Flowers. What a game.
Edelman clearly doesn't look the same.
Julian Edelman, dazzling all day long.
Considered a top 5 quarterback in the league anymore. I was right, no one wants to be.
Look at the New England Patriots on the road this year. They have not been impressive at all. They've been a really porous road team. I think this is something that spells doom for them.
Why are people hating on Tom Brady? The reason is simply the cheating.
You know, everyone thinks we suck and, you know, can't win any games. So we'll see. It'll be fun.
All aboard! you, Felger and Maz.
Get ready for it. It's just going to get worse. He was bad this week, last week. Oof. 2 weeks of it.
Now you have Julian Edelman's hashtag, bet against us, the t-shirts as well.
Good God. And they're just the team to do it, aren't they? Like, they're just the team to shove it up all of our keisters.
Absolutely they are. Again, which is why anytime you hear one of those historical things with this team, that you know, no team has gotten back to the Super Bowl in 25 years, basically, and no team has gone back and won it. Now going on 45 or 50, really closing in on 50. This is totally up their alley.
Throw it out of the window. After 28-3, I feel like I've seen everything. But then again, it's almost like they go back into the cupboard and say, what other ways can we annoy the world? Because everyone outside of New England hates us. What can we do? Oh, no one's ever actually got back to the Super Bowl since the Bills. Yeah, we'll do that, and we'll win the damn thing, too. So I hope I'm wrong. The Pats fan in me hopes I'm wrong. I don't think I will be because the Chiefs have been dominant. They're the deserving number one seed. But if any team's going to do it, it's them.
So, I just feel like to this point, the season's played out exactly as I thought. Exactly, with one exception, which I'll tell in a second. But if I felt that you were always going to win the division. You were probably going to be a bye team. And even though I picked against you last week, it was not out of the pale that you were going to win that tomato can game, even though that was no tomato can. I'm just saying, I felt that when you added it all up, it was going to show up on the margins. So on the road in the AFC title game makes perfect sense for me. You lost some games you shouldn't have lost during the regular season because of all those factors. Now that cost you in the playoffs and you're on the road for the AFC title game where you historically have not had great success. Perfect sense. That's exactly how I would have drawn it up, with one exception. They look pretty good.
They look better last week than I thought they would.
They look good. They're healthy. They look good. They're playing well. They aren't limping to the finish line. They've sort of got their mojo. And that I would not have thought. I would have thought that they would have gone on the road for the AFC title game looking like they did those times in Denver where someone was hurt. Et cetera, et cetera. So I would not have expected for them to be looking this strong with momentum going into the game. We'll see what that's good for. They're still on the road in the AFC title game. Not where they want to be. Bill in Westford, what do you got?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Bill.
Hey, slightly off topic. Go Pats. But I see ESPN pushing this UFC stuff big time. I think it's faked. I'm wondering what you guys think, if it's fake or not.
That's an Agenda Free Friday question. I don't think UFC's fake. I think they just have a big buy with UFC, and so they shove it down our throats.
Go to a real event and then tell me it's fake. It's not. Trust me.
It's not fake. I can't stand it. I mean, I equate UFC, and I'm sorry if I insult the UFC people, but I think it's like skate rats. I feel like it's, like the X Games. I just don't get it. I don't like it. I want boxing to come back. Here's Mike in the truck. Go ahead, Mike.
What happened to you guys? So the Chargers come out and they lay an egg, and all of a sudden you guys are muzzled and you can't say anything. We need you. This town needs you to rag on these Patriots as much as you possibly can. We need balance, all right? They're going to get their butts kicked on Sunday. They are going to get run out of the building. And I've been a Patriots fan my whole life. But that's how this team is. That's what's going to happen. I swear on my mother.
Okay, babe. I feel bad for your mom. But I'm just trying to be fair. I mean, they look good last week and they look strong and they've, you could really build a case. Like if I just handicapped the game, these 60 minutes, I can come up with a million reasons why the Pats are going to win.
Sure.
I mean, just better coaching. They're playing well. They match up fairly well. Kansas City has a horrible defense. Brady looks like he's back. I mean, there's just a lot of reasons. Why? They can run the ball, which I know normally I wouldn't put on the list, but if it's a weather game, I think that's a factor. I think their defense is good but not great, but when you add in sort of how they've played with some of those disguises on defense, I think that could play in. Like, so I can give you a million reasons why they could win this game. I'm still sticking to my guns that it's not their year. I've never felt it was their year.
Yeah,
never.
And I think anyone who goes in and says, like, the Pats are going to blow them out or kick their ass
sit here and say, call that they suck and blow is just would be wrong.
No, it's asinine. They don't suck and blow. They're obviously a good team.
It'd be fun. I'd love to do it.
And they to me, the thing that was stunning was how they looked last week. Like, had they won that game the way they won the Jacksonville game, fine, no problem. Like, I get it. But, and I mean the Jacksonville game and the AFC title game last year. But this game, you know, against the Chargers, they look terrific. I just think, you know, if you go back to the game they played against the Chiefs early in the year, and I was looking some of this up, the Patriots didn't punt. Mahomes threw two interceptions. The Patriots held the ball for 36 minutes. The Chiefs only had a 24, and they won by three on a last-second field goal.
So what does that tell you?
You got to play a perfect game to beat these guys. I think Kansas City, now defensively, they have holes. I think their offense is like off the charts good. And it's just, you're going to have to play a perfect game to beat them.
We've got Paul in the truck. He's up next with Felger and Maz on an Agenda Free Friday brought to you by the Bernardi Auto Group. Go ahead, Paul.
I got Patriots. So, well, I'll tell you why. We got Bill Belichick, one of the best coaches to ever do it. He's going to confuse the hell out of Patrick Mahomes. Everybody's been writing the Pats off, so we know every single one of them is going to come out with vengeance. And lastly, it's going to be cold as hell, so the Kansas City offense is not going to be as high-flying and deep-passing as they usually are.
Okay, neither are you. Is everybody writing the Patriots off?
No.
Just some people.
Yeah.
Like everyone in this room is, but so, I mean, now this we're parsing words and playing semantics, but are you, quote-unquote, writing them off?
No, I'm picking the Chiefs because the Chiefs are home, and in the last 5 years, home teams in the conference title game are 10-0.
There's a difference between picking a team over another, and there's writing you off, which is, again, if you're sensey or you want to, or you're on the team and you want to use it for motivation, you could say writing you off.
Yeah, if you're Brady.
Right. But then there's just picking, because you go to any show on any network, radio, TV, and there's going to be a panel of people, and some people are going to take the Pats, and some people are going to take the Chiefs. Just because some people take the Chiefs does not mean everyone's against you. But if you want to treat it like that, because whatever, that's the way it works around here, then do it.
I'll tell you, the more I think about it, because you asked before we went to break, how would you do it if you're the Patriots? And the more I think about it, I dropped seven into coverage, maybe even an eighth on occasion, and let them run. If they want to hand off to Damian Williams, let them hand it off all night long.
Exactly. The Mike Martz game plan, which is, and not that they went 7-8 in the secondary, but their whole approach, they did dare them to run. And the thing is, if you have the patience as play callers, and if Mahomes, the gunslinger, has patience to hand the ball off and complete 5- and 6-yard passes, you can have it. Do you have the patience to do it?
Yeah, it's a good, I mean, that's what you do. Because again, Reed wants to chuck it. Oh, I think he wants to throw.
He wants to throw, but he wants to throw little 3-4 yard passes in the flat. He loves those. So Reed will do it. Reed will call. I mean, I'll give you again the play calls if you want. Like he'll do the Alex Smith game plan all day long. He loved that. It's Mahomes that wants to get out and chuck. So that to me, I think Reed will take it gladly.
I mean, the Chiefs got 5.5 yards a carry when they were here the first game.
How many rushes did they have?
But 17. It was 10 for 80, though, by Kareem Hunt. The rest of them were 7 for 14.
This other kid is just fine.
I know. I think so, too. But you know what? I'll take my chances. You got to give him something. I mean, what are you going to do? You're gonna let Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill run up and down the field all night?
It's an Agenda-Free Friday. We're mostly Patriots Chiefs, of course. We do just want to hit on real quick the Kyrie Irving thing from the other day. We spent a lot of time on it yesterday. There's someone else, another prominent national basketball voice, who condemned Kyrie Irving and those comments as we did yesterday. You'll hear that right after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I'll tell you one thing, and obviously this is something that it was a big deal for me because I had to call Bron, you know, and tell him, like, you know, I apologize for being that young player that wanted to everything at his, you know, at his fingertips, and I wanted everything to be at you know, my threshold. I wanted to be the guy that led us to the championship. I wanted to be the leader. I wanted to be all that. And, you know, the responsibility of being the best player in the world and leading a team is something that's not meant for many people. And Brown was one of those guys that came to Cleveland and tried to really show us what it's like to win a championship. And it was hard for him. And sometimes getting the most out of the group, it's not the easiest thing in the world.
I didn't like it at all, number one. It seemed like he was saying, we're losing because of these guys. They're young. They don't know how to win. They made it to the Eastern Conference Finals without him last year. Ernie, you don't have to tell people you're a leader. Just be a leader. That kid played great last night. The assists were important. That's one of the few games I've seen where he really made a conscious effort to make everybody around him better. But this notion where you, this thing like, I call LeBron because he taught me how to be a leader. Well, then be a leader. You don't have to tell us you're a leader. I did not like it at all because what he said to me, and I get through the BS, Ernie. Hey, we're losing because these young guys in the locker room. And I didn't like it at all.
Good job, Chuck. 100% right. 100% right. Barkley last night on TNT. Kyrie didn't know he was doing it. He didn't intend to do it. I don't think it was malicious by Kyrie Irving. I don't think it was intentional by Kyrie Irving. I don't think he meant to do what he did, but he did it. By publicly saying, I had to call LeBron and tell him I now understand what it was like to be you, is in essence saying the kids are a pain in the ass, and I'm sorry for being a pain in the ass. I understand it now because I'm dealing with these guys, and it's calling those guys out, and it's condescending, and it's putting yourself above the team, and if those young guys really think about it, it's something that would just piss them off even more. It would me. Like, we're really that bad? You got to call Bron? You got to call Bron on us? And then tell the world we're so bad you had to call Bron? Ugh. So we did that all day yesterday. Just want to reset the take. Barkley agrees. I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing, but anyway, there it is.
I wish I had thought to say it the way that Barkley did. Stop telling me you're a leader and start being one.
Yeah, just keep it in-house, too. Like, it's okay. It's one thing if he did it and then we never found out about it. And, you know, he has this conversation with all those other guys behind the scenes. But to get in front of the camera and yammer on about it again. Like, I don't know how you just don't roll your eyes again if you're someone like Jaylen Brown.
He's not a leader. Maybe he will be someday. I doubt it. But he doesn't know how to do it.
Okay, so there's your Kyrie reset. You can weigh in on that if you want. It is still agenda-free. I know we're mostly Patriots-Chiefs. Jake in the car does want to weigh in on the Kyrie thing. Go ahead, Jake.
I was just going to agree with Chuck. I mean, Kyrie's just got to shut up. I don't really think he's a born leader. The fact that he had to call LeBron, that just shows that he's not a leader. Second thing, over the summer, Zach Lowe reported that the Celtics did not want to offer Jaylen Brown for Kawhi, and I think that's showing how stupid it was. I mean, if I see Jaylen Brown settle for another mid-range dumper, I'm going to lose my mind.
Okay, it's a miss. It's a miss if that's the case. I'd love to make that. Jimmy, maybe it's a project for us. I say us, but really you. could they have gotten Kawhi Leonard for Jaylen Brown?
Yeah, I think so.
So might have taken a little bit more, but
I mean, this whole thing, Danny's done everything right. Danny's done everything right.
I think over the summer, teams asked for Jaylen Brown, and Danny said no. I think that you could have had Luka Doncic from the Mavericks for Jaylen Brown in a package for him, and Danny wouldn't do it. Because I think the Celtics see Jaylen Brown as Kawhi Leonard when really he's playing like Jeff Green.
So, I mean, never mind the way Brown is gone. You know, you just go back and look at that draft a little bit. You know, you can play that. Was Murray
Jamal Murray is the player they should have taken.
Thank you, Jamal Murray.
That's the player I wanted.
There might be more if you really look at it. I mean, the farther Brown goes down, but I don't know. Did they overvalue the guy?
I think they did. I mean, again, to me, Brown was a guy to move from the very beginning, particularly after they got Tatum. I just felt like there was a ceiling there that he wasn't going to get past. And, like, Jimmy, if you're telling me now they could have gotten Doncic for him, holy crap.
Yeah, they were trying to move up in the draft, and
holy
teams
crap.
Wanted Jaylen Brown, and Danny wouldn't move him, at least as my understanding goes.
That guy's a stud. That kid's a stud.
Okay, so I was wrong on Brown. I thought he had a chance to be better than Tatum. I mean, the raw stuff is still there. But
he needs to play with urgency.
Well, he needs to grow up significantly before he makes that move. Mike in the car. Go ahead, Mike.
Good afternoon, guys. When you look at the Patriots, they've been pretty consistent over the last couple of years. If you look at this stat, if they're leading after the first quarter, Brady hasn't lost in the last 4 years. Wow. And if you look at the common threads of this past year, all four road games they've lost. I'm not really counting Miami. They still were behind after the first quarter. But every one of those games, they gave up an opening drive touchdown. So you're going to know early in this game against the Chiefs whether or not they can actually win the game. If they can't stop the Chiefs from getting 14 in the first quarter and they slow the game down, they're probably going to win the game. If the Chiefs get off to a hot start, I don't think that Brady can match Mahomes gun for gun just because their weapons are just insane.
I mean, that's an interesting trend, though, the thing about getting ahead. Maybe why Bill took the ball last week, and you know, you get the feeling they're going to take the ball from here on out, which, again, I think is a mistake. I mean, I understand that playing from ahead thing. Like, I get it, and it worked last week.
But what if it starts like the Tennessee game and someone immediately lights up James White? Then you know, like, oh, boy, we're in for a long day here.
But, I mean, it's not just that. It's I want Brady with the chance to manipulate the two scores at the end of the first and the beginning of the second. I just think they've been so good at that. That's so valuable. And if the Chargers had anything approaching, you know, their game last week, you actually put them in position to do the same thing. You're up 28-7 with 3.5 minutes left. The Chargers are getting the ball. Now, the Jamoke fumbled, of course. But if they get the ball there, get points, then they go into the tunnel. They come up for the second half and get points on their first drive of the third quarter. That situation sort of lets them right back into the game. I always want to be that team that has that chance.
So this week, though, I'll tell you, I'd take the ball. I would, and I think the whole idea of it, and I know the numbers the caller just threw at us, the crowd, the Kansas City off, like, I like the idea of being in front. These high-flying offensive teams, they're front-running teams. They like to play from in front. You got to get ahead.
We've got Quinn in Marshfield. Hi, Quinn.
Hey, how you doing? I don't know if this has been touched on nationally, but it's kind of something that's come up for me. You look at the older quarterbacks in the league now, obviously, you know, Eli, Rivers, and Roethlisberger aren't in the same age, and being from New England, you have to preface by saying Tom is the greatest ever. But if you look at Drew Brees' numbers this year, they're almost exactly what Brady's were last year. He has the same amount of touchdowns with even less interceptions. Is it becoming less and less impressive that Brady's still playing at this old age? Like, Brees is still doing it. Doesn't look like he's close to retiring, and we don't have to hear about Brees doing some pliability training.
It's so true. Yes, Quinn. Yes. To answer your question, yes. What it does is it puts a little bit of the lie to Brady's secret formula, like he just referenced. You know, again, is Drew Brees hanging upside down in a parabolic chamber? And I just made that up, not that Brady, you know, but is Brees doing all this goofy crap with the calloused brain and the, you know, the body capable of dispersing the forces? Does he feed that nonsense to us?
He is selling some kind of junk.
Is he?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
So maybe I just don't know it. Maybe he is. All I know is, and I'm not telling you that these guys are as good as Brady. They're not. I'm just telling you that Philip Rivers posts every week. He plays every week. Eli Manning plays every single week. Drew Brees plays every single week for decades. Okay? So they've not quite reached Brady's run, but they're on their way. Brees is close. He's right there. So, and Favre still holds the record, I think. And Favre, believe me, did not train on avocado ice cream and freaking concussion water, you know? So the answer to the caller's question is yes. It diminishes it, if you want to use that word, or puts the lie to it or whatever. It's hardly as special as maybe you want to make it seem.
I mean, look, I give Brady all the credit in the world for maintaining his intensity and everything else. But the physical part of it, maybe it's as simple as the fact that you can't hit the quarterback anymore.
I said it when we did this discussion like 2 or 3 weeks ago. Brady is extraordinarily tough. That's what I think he, in all of his nonsense, diminishes in himself, in that he gets hurt all the time. He had an MCL this year or something, and he has concussions all the time, according to his wife. He plays through them. He's freaking tough, as is Rivers, as is Brees, as was Favre, a little fraudulent, but he was tough to a degree. So I think all these guys, it ain't the freaking TB12 method. This is what it is. He is a tough, competitive guy playing a protected position. That's what it is.
I mean, Eli is too, like you said. He's a tough one too. Eli is tough.
Okay, so anyway, we continue with your calls on Agenda Free Friday. Coming up next, something for free, a giveaway, and fresh Fuppets. We're going to run it twice today because, well, Hardy puts a lot of time into it. They're freaking phenomenal, and it's worth more than just that one airing in the final word. So coming up next, a giveaway and fresh Fuppets. Don't go anywhere.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
Fetchner MD.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
With this group, at this age, coming off of no work in the spring, then, you know...
Yeah, it could be his greatest accomplishment. I mean, accomplishment.
You will be allowed to put a ball gag in me, McCone. You can ball gag me and tie me up and put me in the corner and do whatever you want with me. Okay? Hard so that if he drags this group to the Super Bowl, ball gag me and throw me in the corner. So a lot at stake for me this weekend. A lot at stake. But again, that's how I felt. And I... The only time this year I felt that I might be wrong and it, you know, that it might not be their year, you know, was last week. That's the only time. I didn't buy it after the Green Bay win. I didn't buy it after the Minnesota win. At any point in time this year, I always felt again that all the factors, and it's not just the passing camp. Like I feel like I get labeled with, well, you think those 3 days would have mattered? It's not those 3 days. Brady wasn't there at all in the spring and the offseason. He's always there. Or the previous 4 years, he was there every day. Day one, March 3rd. Never mind the passing camp. So it's like he took the whole offseason off. He didn't even do the thing with his buddies going to Montana. Like he just took a different approach. He told us he took a different approach. So that started it. Then they lose Amendola and the left tackle and Deion Lewis and Brandon Cooks, and they don't really replace them. Then, you know, Bill treats, you know, chill Bill. He's not even really going all in at camp either. They have a couple bad losses early. They don't do anything at the trade deadline. They have a couple bad losses late. So it's like, well, this is exactly what I thought. They'd be a good, not great team, and all that stuff would add up, and they'd be on the road in the AFC title game. Or they'd get even nipped before then. And that's the kind of year we were going to have. That's what I felt from day one. And nothing changed my mind or gave me reason to change my mind until last week. And it probably started when that kicker they signed 3 days before just to kick off, doinked it off the fullback on the 25-yard line. And I said, uh-oh, here we go. And then they walk off the field and it's, oh, you think we suck? I'm like, oh, no, now they got their mojo. And it's like... That's the only time that gave me pause, but I ain't coming off the original projection. They're going to lose on the road in the AFC title game.
But you know what? Like, even that kick, when you think about it, that's about the opponent.
Yes, like, well, that's a big part of this, isn't it?
Well, it is.
Because the Pats are down. Clearly they're down from what they usually are, from what they are. And they're still arguably one of the best teams in the league. So what does that tell you about the league? That's part of the story.
But for me, last week was about how they looked. You know, it wasn't about the win. It's about how they looked in the win. And they looked like themselves. Starting with Edelman and then Brady. Like, the whole thing was like, whoa. That was like out of a time machine. Where did that come from? You know, that's what last week was. I just have my doubts about their ability to do it on the road. I have never liked the idea of going to Kansas City. And the reality is, had the Patriots taken care of business in just one of those other games, they'd be home this week.
Dennis in Cincinnati, your thoughts?
Yeah, the last MVP of the regular season to win the Super Bowl was Kurt Warner in 99. Do you think that winning the MVP of the regular season adds a lot of pressure to a single player? And since it's such a team sport, for better or for worse, they kind of fall short?
Sure, that's a trend. You know, it's a trend.
I mean, it happened last year.
They caught Brady last year, for sure. So,
now, granted, the calls at the time last year said, well, no, that's not going to matter at all.
No, so, but now it does because Mahomes is going to win the MVP.
Right.
When do they announce it? They announce it before the game, don't they? They announce it that week?
Yeah.
Super Bowl week, yeah. Yeah.
So I thought
you meant before this game.
No. So you know going into the Super Bowl if they're the MVP or not. I mean, that's going to be broken eventually. I don't know. Well, maybe that means – but that doesn't mean that stat doesn't hold for the conference title game. It holds for the Super Bowl. So I wonder how many league MVPs made their conference title game. Anyone want to look that up real quick? You could. But, you know, when does it catch up?
Are we convinced it's going to be Mahomes? Could it be Breeze?
No, it's going to be Mahomes. Breeze was too Breeze's numbers went way down towards like the last four or five games of the season compared to how he was playing at the beginning.
Here's Tom in Alston. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, guys. So I've been thinking about the Bill Belichick versus the rookie quarterback angle for the past week, and I thought that he was going to have a big advantage going up against Mahomes for a second time. But as I dug into the stats, it's very interesting. Belichick is 18-5 since 2000 against rookie quarterbacks, but he's 11-0 at home and only 7-5 away. So do you think that that maybe negates his advantage of going up against a rookie quarterback for a second time this season, the game being at Arrowhead? Thanks, guys.
Sure, it works against him, but you know he's not a rookie. And I would put Mahomes in a little bit different category than some other rookies in that he's really well coached. He has a great offensive coach. Say what you want about Andy Reid and the clock and all that. It's totally legit. Andy Reid can game plan, and his scheme is excellent, and he's a good quarterback coach, and he's a good offensive coach. And this is not his rookie year. It's his second year. And he's already played a playoff game. He, you know, popped the cherry, if you will, last week. So it's like, you know, I wouldn't treat him like a quote-unquote rookie.
I mean, with young players, I think the home road thing makes a huge difference. Because, again, these are guys that typically you put them in a comfortable environment, they're going to be fine. You put them in a hard environment, and they're going to get a little rattled. You know, they're just not going to be themselves.
Okay, we got this. Patrice Bergeron and Toucher and Rich present Pucks and Paddles, second annual ping pong tournament to benefit the Floating Hospital for Children at Tufts Medical Center and the Bruins Foundation. It's Thursday, February 7th at Royale Boston. You can bid to play doubles, play yourself, against your favorite Bruins player, or Sports Hub celebrities like Toucher, Rich, John Wallach, Mark Bertrand, and others. VIP tickets are $200. That gives you access to an autograph session with the Bruins. General admission tickets are $50, all for a great cause. For more info and to buy tickets, go to 985thesportshub.com. You want something for free? Here it is. It's a special playoff edition of Feed the Fan Fridays presented by Stop and Shop, official supermarket of the New England Patriots. Caller 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a $100 Stop and Shop gift card to feed their playoff party, stopandshop.com. Good luck with that. Jones will have another one of these tonight, so you'll have another chance to win tonight. I promise Fuppets, unfortunately, there's some technical difficulties out at NBC Sports Boston. So this is something you're going to have to catch up with on our social feeds. Felger and Maz Facebook page, Twitter page, all this stuff that we got going on. Twitch channel, I don't know. But all you kids on social media, this is where you'll actually see it. We'll play the audio because, again, Hardy put it together. I don't know if it works audio-wise or not. I haven't heard it. I hear it's spectacular, which is too bad that they can't run it on the simulcast. Hopefully they can figure it out by the end of the day because we're going to run it again in the final word. But if you want to see the actual visuals, as I do now too, can you run it in-house, Vinny? Can I watch it in? Can I just see it on the loop? Is that possible? So go to our socials to see it in video form. But here's this week's Fuppets. We'll take this to the top of the hour. Murray's update takes 90 seconds, and we're right back on your calls on an agenda-free Friday. Phil in Malden. Go ahead, Phil.
Yeah, Mike. I respect your picking the Chargers, but Bill Cowher couldn't pick his nose in a windstorm. He was the only one that picked the Chargers.
Okay, well, what does picking your nose in a windstorm have to do?
I have no idea.
I mean, the summer wind. I like it, but I don't get the logistics came blowing in of why that would be from across the sea. Easy or hard. Like, I don't get
like
it.
Like, if he said pick his nose in the desert, that I might get kind of dry out there. You know, maybe your nose gets a little crusty. It's easy to pick.
Pick your nose in the ocean.
No.
Hard to do. That I get.
Right. Difficult. Yeah.
It shouldn't be that hard in a windstorm. So, again, I don't get it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.